Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Well, after a couple days off, NCAA tournament gets back underway tomorrow. Sweet 16 action. And we've got some good games. You got Oral Roberts, Arkansas, Nova, Baylor. Good stuff. But man, the most intriguing game of the day to me, Oregon State versus Loyola Chicago. Man, I cannot wait for this game, Chuda.
Yeah, it's awesome. It is awesome that Oregon State's going to be playing Saturday afternoon on CBS against Loyola Chicago. And look, Chicago should be favored in this game, but Beavers have won five straight as an underdog in a similar point spread. So obviously you can't count these guys out.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Look, man, their outside shooting's been great. The scheme has been good. Wayne Tinkle's done a masterful job going back to the end of the regular season, into the Pac-12 tournament. What a great story it's been. And Judy, you had a chance to talk to Tinkle just a little while ago.
Yeah, that's right. And Coach took some time live from Indianapolis. This was just right before we came on the air with the show. So I hope everyone enjoys this. I just started off by asking him how he is feeling, how the team is feeling, less than 24 hours out from the Sweet 16.
Yeah, it's exciting, you know. But we practiced earlier this morning our time here. And, you know, no nerves. The guys are just kind of business as usual. But I'm sure as that sun comes up tomorrow and they realize, you know, they're about to, you know, get ready to tip it up in the Sweet 16, there'll be some anxious energy, I'll say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This week in particular, I think, it's great because you had to win two games, right, to get this full week of preparation for Loyola. But it also is, you know, you get a spotlight of sorts, right? I mean, it would have been one thing to just beat Tennessee, but the fact that you pulled off two upsets in a row means you've earned this week of recognition. You have earned a spotlight. What's that been like for you as a coach and for your players to really, you're squeezing all the juice from the lemon so far, and hopefully there's more juice to squeeze, but it's awesome that you get the full week of recognition.
No, for sure. I mean, it's really a neat reward for our guys for all that they've been through, you know. And, you know, the funny thing is when we lost a couple of those tough games early, we kind of said, you know what, if we listen and we learn and we grow, we'll make up for it down the road. And, you know, we went through quite the gauntlet in the Pac-12 tournament, and then you knock off Tennessee and Oklahoma State to be in the Sweet 16. It's just a great feeling. It's great validation for our guys, for their buy-in, for all that they've been through. You know, like you said, it's one thing maybe anybody can sneak an upset, but to then follow that up with another one against 11th-ranked Oklahoma State to get here means the world to our guys, the families, and obviously the supporters of Oregon State.
Yeah, absolutely. Wayne Tinkle joining us. Judah Newby here on the Bald-Faced Truth. Coach, when you look at Loyola Chicago, I know they're an 8 seed, but we all know, I mean, that is not an ordinary 8 seed, much in the same way that you guys are not an ordinary 12 seed. You kind of have to throw these seeds out the window. In particular, defensively, they're really good. Any way you slice it, they're a really good defensive team. What impresses you about what they do defensively, and what do you think is the most helpful philosophy to adapt offensively to find some success against them?
Yeah, well, they're very disciplined. I mean, they put pressure on the ball, and then everybody else is really loaded in their gaps to help on any penetration. They've got active hands, you know, to slow down the quick ball reversal. They create some turnovers. You know, and then they've got the big guy that's really physical. They are a physical team. And if you're not ready to take on, you know, when you're trying to cut and they're banging you and you start looking to the ref for, you know, for some calls, they're going to wear you out. So we've got to be really tough mentally and physically to execute offensively just to get the kind of shots we want to get. Now, hopefully our defense can create some offense getting out in transition, but they're also a very good transition D team. They get three guys back right away. The other guys chase. So I think it's 20 games in a row they've held their opponents under 65 points. So, you know, we scored 80 last time out and 70-some against Tennessee. We've got to – ultimately, we've got to defend, take care of the ball, but we're going to have to put the ball in the bucket.
Yeah, yeah. And, look, when you mentioned toughness, I mean, that puts a smile on my face too, because that's one of the things I've been most impressed about with your squad, not just the physical toughness, but there's been in-game resilience that your team has had to channel. You know, Tennessee made a run in that second half in that first game, got within 12 points. A lot of teams can break in that moment. You guys didn't. You kept them at bay. You won comfortably. Oklahoma State made two big runs in that second half. When they hit back-to-back three-pointers and Cunningham hit that three, I was getting a little nervous, Coach. And then you guys were the better squad the final 3.5 minutes to finish that one out. What is the key to doing that when you get the opponent's best shot late in the game, but you still find, you know, the energy and the resilience deep down to pull away and finish the job?
Well, I think Ethan Thompson said it perfectly in the press conference after. He said, you know, we lost some tough games early, late in the game, you know, and those games we had double-figure leads in the second half and squandered them because we got a little bit selfish. We went away from the game plan, and that broke down our trust defensively. And he said, we've learned from that, you know, and even go back to UCLA jumping us in the first round of the tournament. We never panicked. The guys showed great leadership out on the court. You know, when we made substitutions, they always gave us a boost. And that was the same thing against Oklahoma State and even Tennessee. But in the Oklahoma State game, I remember, you know, we were a little bit silent in a timeout. We called as I was thinking about, you know, what we were going to run. And then I just looked up and I just said, hey, we've been here before, right? We know what to do. We know what's meant to be. Now let's go out and execute. And then the under 4 minute timeout, Ethan Thompson said, hey, this is why we do 4 minute scrimmages all year in practice. You know, we win these last 4 minutes. And then they went out and opened that thing up to put it away. So great leadership out on the court. Our guys are positive and really good frame of mind. So to us, you know, you get to this point, you wonder, you know, are there going to be some nerves down the stretch? But our guys really are playing with some confidence, and they believe. So, you know, it leads me to think that tomorrow will be no different.
Mm-hmm. I love that. It reminds me of a quote that says, you know, when the pressure rises, you know, it's rare that we rise to the level of our aspirations. We actually fall. Right. We fall to the level of our training. And what you explain right there kind of exemplifies that. You guys are trained for the high leverage moments and for the big situations, for the 4 minutes to go situations late in the game. And you've come out victorious now twice in a row and five times in a row going back to the UCLA game in the Pac-12 tournament. Not only that, Coach, but you've mentioned it before. The Pac-12 is its own training ground that has not gotten the respect that, you know, the coaches in the conference, yourself included, felt like it really merits. How validating has it been to see the success of the conference in this tournament?
Well, that's, you know, it's equally as important, I think. I mean, yeah, this has been huge for Oregon State, but for our league in general. You know, we've been fighting hard as a group of coaches and as a conference, you know, to sort of get more credibility and respect out there. And let's face it, there were years we really didn't deserve it, you know, but we're cleaning up from those times. And, you know, we've got very talented players and coaches, and we've pushed each other, you know, to get stronger and, you know, through scheduling and recruiting and all that. But you know, you look at it, and I know our league has put more players in the NBA draft than any other conference. You know, I want to say it's something like 7 out of 10 years. So we've got the talent, and, you know, I just hopefully of the four teams remaining, I know Oregon and USC go head-to-head, but we can get a few of us to continue to advance so that we can further educate people around the country just how good a conference we have.
I love it. And that's right. Yeah, Wayne Tinkle joining us on the Bald Faced Truth. One of the most enjoyable parts of this run, Coach, has been seeing players. Like, we know what Ethan can provide. We know what Jared can provide. And even Alatiche has, you know, has really proven himself consistently. but it's kind of the other guys. It's a guy like, you know, Rodrigue and Deli in the Oregon game coming off the bench with 13-9 and just cleaning up. It's Roman Silva just becoming a monster in the Tennessee game. And
sure.
I get like these visceral reactions watching these guys stepping up into huge moments. It is Kalu against Colorado, Kalu in the first half with Oklahoma State, and even Tarik Silver, I knew little to nothing about this guy. And he hit two massive jump shots with confidence and got fouled on one in the Oklahoma State game. I set that all up just to ask you, as a coach, you know each of those guys' individual journeys. You know their stories, how they got to your campus, what they've had to overcome to get here. What is it like for you when in the heat of the battle you're seeing those guys step up and shine when the lights are brightest?
Oh, it makes us feel good. And, you know, the beginning of the year, we talked about if we were going to reach our potential, you know, our depth was going to be a strength of ours. Now, your depth is only there if it's productive. And, you know, Tarik is a guy that had a lot of injuries early with concussion, ankle sprains, was really set back. You know, even Gianni Hunt for a little while. You know, Maurice was battling, you know, defensive liabilities and, you know, his minutes went down, but he continued to work. You know, Rodriguez, a guy that played a lot of minutes at his junior college, but, you know, was stuck behind both Roman and Tuck, you know, until he got a grasp of all of our schemes. But it's great to know, because we tell them just everybody needs to stay positive. You'll never know when you're going to be called upon, but if you've got a positive mindset, when we do call on you, you're going to have a positive impact. And to their credit, they did. And, you know, I tell you, there was a lot of stuff out there about Rodrigue not playing in the Oklahoma State game, and it was purely a coach's decision. I just had a feeling in my gut. I remember when we got Garen Tucker to campus, I said, boy, once he gets to work with Jeff Macy, our incredible strength and conditioning coach, he's going to look like one of those players that Oklahoma State always has, you know, in the Big 12. And so I kind of remembered that when it was time to give Roman a sub, and we went with De'Aaron, and he had a great first half, and Roman played a career-high 32 minutes, so there weren't much minutes left for anybody else. But Rodriguez had a great week of practice. He'll be ready to go again this weekend for us. But I'm so proud of those guys for their continued buy-in. Nobody threw in the towel. You know, you look earlier in the year, you know, we lost one of our players, you know, that just – you know, wasn't happy with playing time, and everybody else just bought in and put the team first. And look where it's led us. Here we are in the Sweet 16. And as a coach and our staff, you're so thankful for that. And the guys see the reward when everybody's on the same page and they make it about the team.
You know, it's simple when you put it that way, but it's amazing how rare that is to see manifest, because it's hard.
Sure.
It's hard to get to the tournament. It's hard to win the conference tournament. It is hard to win a game. And you guys have put together 80 minutes of tournament basketball that have been just so stellar. And, you know, there's a bit of a narrative that says, hey, this is a magical run. You know, you guys are riding a magic carpet of sorts. And I don't know how you feel about it, Coach, but in my opinion, that might be partially true. But I don't want to discount from the fact that this run is also a result of seeds that you've been planting in Corvallis for 7 years, and they're sprouting and they're blooming, and this is what it looks like when they start to bloom. Do you feel that same way, that yes, hey, this is magical, and in a sense we're playing with house money, but in another way, you know, this is no accident. This is who we are.
No, for sure. You know, and I know, you know, so much, especially when you look at college athletics, is based on what have you done for me lately. But, you know, you look at what we did in our early years and getting back to the tournament, when really we had maybe two-thirds of a roster. You know, and then year three, we suffered all those season-ending injuries by the end of November. Disastrous season. A lot of it out of our control. You know, when you lose four of your top six guys, well, that took a lot of the momentum away. It impacted recruiting. But we didn't cut, you know, we didn't quit doing things the way we do them. We didn't cut corners. We didn't panic, you know. And then, you know, you look at the players we've added the last handful of years, You look at the leadership from Trace, you know, and then bring on Kyler Kelly, you know, Stevie Thompson, Drew Eubanks. Those guys gritted through a lot of you know, hard times to get us back to where we're in a position to do this. You know, 2 years ago we finished fourth in league. We won 10 league games for the first time since 1990. You know, and then last year we were making a run that we thought would have led to, you know, potential, the run we're making now. So the foundation's been laid. Yes, you know, we had a tough year and a tough way to respond from it. But you're right. We planted those seeds. We stuck to the way we do things. We didn't panic. We didn't hear any of the noise. And we just stayed focused on the task at hand. And so, you know, again, people are all commenting how relaxed we are. And it's like, this is what we've expected to happen. And yeah, there's always going to be a break or two along the way in a run like this. But to us, it's meant to be. And it's like, we're even joking about, you know, superstitions and like doing the opposite of being superstitious just to prove, hey, this is our time, man. It's meant to be. So let's not let any of that clutter take us off of this ride. And it does seem magical at times, but also, you know what? We put in a lot of hard work, a lot of patience. We never change the way we do things. When you hear some of that noise seep in, and we've just stuck to, you know, our roots and how we do things, and that's what makes me proud as a head coach and of our staff for the way we've really come together. And, you know, I want to mention the staff. This is as cohesive as a group I've had in quite a while, and we've been through some hard times, both personally and athletically, but we've really had each other's backs, and the players feed off of that. They see it. They feed off of it when it's negative, you know, and it can keep them maybe from gelling, but when they see a group that's, you know, collective and really having each other's backs, they feed off of it and do the same thing, and I'm really proud of the people that we have around us.
Yeah, I love hearing that, Coach. Last thing before I let you go here, I had a chance to interview you one other time, and it was actually at a Les Schwab Invitational in 2015. I was doing some play-by-play. Mm-hmm. I think you had just taken the OSU job. You were just finishing up year one or in the middle of year one or so, and you were kind enough to take some moments at Liberty High School out there in Hillsborough, talk about some guys. And I saw a picture on my timeline come up recently, and you haven't aged a bit. In 7 years, Coach, you look great. I look a lot different from the time that picture was taken. But when you allow yourself just to think about for a moment 7 years in Corvallis, and there might not be one answer to this, and I understand, but is there an area in which you think you personally have grown the most as a head coach or as a leader of men, even though coaching has been in your blood for a long time? Is there a particular area where, since you've come on the scene at Oregon State, you feel like you've grown the most?
You know, I just think it has to. The one thing I would come up with is just patience. You know, and I'll be honest, I really prayed hard for that this year more than any. But you know, we had to weather the storm. We had some rough days, some rough times. You know, I know there was some, you know, second guessing out there, but just the ability to really stay focused on doing things the way you know how to do them and that they'll pay off. I remember early in my career at Montana, kind of all over the place. We gambled on a couple of recruits that never put on a uniform, suffered through a tough year. And I told myself, listen, you've got to trust yourself and do things the way you do. Don't try to do them like anybody else would. Do it to the best of your ability and you'll be able to live with the results. And you know what? It'll work out. And we've had to kind of mention that same thing to ourselves here, you know, throughout, you know, our time at Oregon State. And it's really, I think, been a great part of my growth is to just trust the way we do things, trust the process, and then to really sell that message to the guys. And I think it's not just this year. It's been the last couple of years leading up to this year, I think, that has us in this position. And so that makes us proud for, you know, it could have been really easy to try to cut corners to win now, and we never did that. And we stayed fair and consistent with the way we coached our guys. And then, Judah, especially in a year like this, when you look at the pandemic, the social justice issues, everything that our guys have had to go through, I mentioned some personal issues off the court with some of the staff, you know, just the way that we've been there for each other, the way we've always had our doors open, our guys took advantage of that this year. Some of our conversations have been so, you know, you don't normally get to this level without these sorts of things happening. And I think because of the way we are and who we are, we've built a level of trust that I'm not sure you can do in most years. And that's a big part of our success as well.
He's Coach Wayne Tinkle in year 7 at Oregon State, and an unforgettable season it has been, taking on Porter Moser and Loyola Chicago. There's I could ask you about a lot more, Coach, but it's 24 hours out from the biggest game in Oregon State history in a long, long time. I cannot wait to watch it. I can't wait for the CBS cameras to pan to the Tinkle family in the stands, to pan back to Sister Jean, to pan back to you and Porter. And this is it, man. It's on CBS on a Saturday afternoon in our market, where we're watching Beaver basketball in the Sweet 16. Thank you for what you've done with this program, and thank you for your time. And we're fired up to watch it.
Great to be with you. Hey, we're certainly blessed, and we're so appreciative, all of Beaver Nation that stuck with us through thick and thin. And it's going to be a proud moment for all of us when that ball goes in the air and it's time to get back to business. We hope to keep things rolling. So make it a good one, buddy. Always good to be with you. And hey, go Beavs.